Good morning.
Good. Sir, what is... Sir?
I didn't hear you.
Could you tell, what is your name, sir?
Pete Norris.
Okay, sir, I'm just getting the paperwork together, if you give me a second.
Sure.
Okay, Mr. Norris, I see that your sister would like to participate telephonically in your hearing today, so I'm going to contact your sister. Could you just stand by for a minute, sir?
Okay.
Hi, may I speak to Ms. Kathleen Parker, please?
Ms. Kathleen, please.
This is the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency.
Yes.
Is this Ms. Parker?
Yes.
Ms. Parker, I understand that you wanted to participate in the hearing today for Mr. Peter Norris.
Okay.
So we're getting ready to start his hearing at this time, Ms. If you would just stay on the line, and then we'll come back with you at the appropriate time to hear any information or have any information that you'd like to present to the board, okay?
Okay, will I be on the line very long?
No, but if you decide that you no longer want to participate in the hearing, Ms. Parker, it is really up to you that you can get off the line at any time that you deem necessary for yourself.
But I'm just on a cell phone that sometimes disconnects in this area.
Okay. So if it disconnects, we'll try to give you a call back, okay?
Thank you.
All right, Ms. Parker. Thank you. Okay, Mr. Norris, could you please state your name and your ADC number for us for the record, please?
Peter Norris, 137-558.
Okay, sir, you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. I'm going to introduce you to the board members that are conducting your hearing today, sir. We've been authorized by the board chair, Dr. C.T. Wright, to have a two-panel member to conduct revocation hearings, sir. So you have with us this morning, sir, to my right is the Honorable David Neal. Sir, my name is Michael Johnson. I'm going to be acting as your panel chair today, sir. Also with us in the room, sir, that should be appearing on the screen now is Mr. Osborne. Mr. Osborne is representing the Department of Correction as well as the parole office, sir. Sir, prior to your hearing, you signed and received a notification form advising you of this board's hearing. Do you recall receiving and signing that form, sir?
I can't hear you.
Sir, prior to your hearing today, you received and signed a notification form advising you of the board's hearing today. Do you recall receiving and signing that form, sir?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Sir, on that form, it also notified you of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney, sir?
Yes, I did.
Okay, sir, did you hire an attorney or are you representing yourself?
No, I did.
Okay.
No, I did.
Okay, so are you representing yourself today, sir?
Yes, I am.
All right, thank you, sir. At this time, sir, what I'd like to do is I'd like to swear you and Mr. Osborne in along with your sister, Ms. Parker, at this time, okay? Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm? Mr. Norris?
Yes, I do.
Okay, Mr. Osborne?
I do, sir.
Ms. Parker?
Yes, sir.
Do you solemnly, are you going to be testifying on your brother's behalf today? Speaking on your brother's behalf today?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so I need to swear you in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I do.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Mr. Norris, today your hearing is going to be conducted in two phases, sir. Phase one will determine whether the terms and conditions of the community supervision have been violated. Sir, in phase two will determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. We're going to start out in phase one, sir. You have one allegation listed on your warrant. I am going to read that allegation to you, Mr. Norris. When I read that allegation to you, I need you to state whether that allegation is either true or false. Do you understand what I'm requesting, Mr. Norris?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So the allegation on your warrant states that you are in violation of the Arizona Condition of Supervision number 14B, as demonstrated by your failure to plug the tracking device into the electrical outlet, into an electrical outlet immediately if the tracking device vibrates and the power LED light flashes red, on or about September 3rd, 2017. Sir, is that true or false?
That's a Sunday, correct?
I don't know what date that was, sir. It's September 3rd.
Okay. I think that that was a Sunday, and I did plug in my GPS twice that day.
Okay, so are you saying that that allegation is true or is false, sir?
Yes, I am.
Okay, sir. So based on the information that you state that that allegation is false, we're going to go to the parole officer, Mr. Osborne, and get some additional information reference that allegation, okay?
Yes, sir. Allegation number one. On August 31st of 2017, the offender was released on TIS status and transported to the Phoenix Parole Office for his initial intake, located at 801 South 16th Street, Suite Number 1, Phoenix, Arizona, 85034. During intake, the offender read, acknowledged understanding, signed, and received a copy of his Arizona condition of supervision, to include a copy of GPS conditions that directed the offender to immediately plug his tracking device into an electrical outlet if the tracking device vibrates and the power LED flashes red in color. On September 3rd, 2017, at 4:21 p.m., the offender's GPS device battery died. However, prior to dying, the GPS device signaled the offender that the battery was near depletion and required immediate charge. The offender failed to immediately plug the GPS device into an electrical outlet, which resulted in the offender becoming untrackable for over 8 hours, resulting in an unable to connect alarm. The offender contacted this officer after hours and left a voice message on this officer's cell phone at approximately 4:22 p.m. on September 3rd of 2017. Stating he understood his GPS device battery was dead and was headed to charge it. However, the offender never plugged his GPS device into an electrical outlet after this point. The offender made no other attempts to contact his officer regarding any issues with his GPS charger. Follow-up, on September 4th of 2017, FAU investigator Armstrong was able to make contact with the offender regarding this warrant. Investigator Armstrong arrested the offender and took him into custody based on his warrant. The offender was still wearing his GPS device. In addition, the offender's GPS charger was recovered by FAU Armstrong. FAU Armstrong turned both the GPS device and charger over to this officer. Both the GPS device and charger were tested to ensure they were still in working order, which both the device and charger were still in normal working order.
Okay, Mr. Norris, what's not true about that?
Well, it was approximately 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I was sitting there approximately one block north of my assigned area when the GPS went off. It indicated on the light that I was out of area. Approximately, I would say within a minute after that, all four of the red lights went on, which indicated to call my parole officer at the time. I walked the half a block or so down to my area in hopes that the office there, that there's an office right there that I know the personnel that have that company, and hoping that it was open that I could make a phone call there. But due to Sunday, they were closed, so I had to walk all the way down to Circle K. and they did not have any outside phones at Circle K, but the gal inside there was nice enough to let me use her phone, and she dialed Mark's number for me. I left a message there for him that my GPS had gone off and that I would be at my location. The area where I was at, there was also a patrol officer there that was sitting in the shade like I was, and I walked back. But at that time, I had just completed 2 miles in the Arizona sun, and I was in a heat stroke state, and I went to check with the officer, and he was no longer in the area. And so I walked back to my area, my point of reference there on Crest and 18th Drive. At that approximate time, I went into a heat stroke condition and passed out on the sidewalk. I was laying on the sidewalk for approximately 3 hours or so. When I woke up, it was a little after 7 o'clock. I grabbed another one of my water bottles and started drinking more water. But my condition was pretty bad, and I tried flagging down a couple people to call 911, and none of them did do that at that time. I spent the rest of the night there laying on the sidewalk, and the officer then did come the next morning and picked me up. And I told the officer at the time that I needed to go to the hospital, and he said that he was going to take me to Alhambra and that they would take care of me there.
Okay, so you never did go to the hospital?
No, I did not.
Okay.
He didn't take me to the hospital.
So where were you paroled to, sir?
On 18th Drive and Crescent.
Okay.
Street corner.
Okay, sir. Mr. Norris, based on the Department of Correctional information, along with the warrant information, along with getting the information from Mr. Norris, I am going to move to find that he was delinquent, that he did violate the terms and conditions of the supervision, that he may have lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Okay, Mr. Norris, we're going to go into phase two of your hearing, sir. During phase two of your hearing, sir, the board is going to make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you on your community supervision, sir. We're going to first start out with getting some information from the parole officer, Mr. Osborne. Then we're going to come to you, Mr. Norris, to get any information that you'd like to present to the board. And then we're going to your sister, Ms. Parker. Okay? Mr. Norris?
Okay.
All right. Mr. Osborne?
Yes, sir. Mr. Norris was released from DOC custody on August 31st of 2017. He was arrested on September 4th of 2017 by the Fugitive Apprehension Unit at the field arrest and was returned back to our custody, of course, the same day with zero escondes, with a community supervision end date of October 1st of 2018. Current conviction, 2011, molestation of a child, 7 years, 6 months. Prior conviction, 1998, molestation of the child, 10 years. He's had 2 terms with DOC, has a CUIR score of 3-1, a mental health score of 1, and a substance abuse score of 1. There is no STG or gang information noted. Prior terms of supervision, 2007, TIS completion, 1 year, 5 months. He has a minimal disciplinary history. He has a community risk score of G1V1, and he is a registered, notifiable, level 2 sex offender with dangerous crimes against children cited in the court docs, and his victims were a 12-year-old and 17-year-old female.
Okay, Mr. Norris, what would you like to say to the board, sir?
I think this was a case of like a perfect storm. I tried everything that I could at the time to communicate with the parole officer. All I had was the one phone number that he had given me at the time. And then due to the medical condition that I ended up in, as far as with the unconscious heat stroke condition, there was nothing really I could do after that, because it was when I finally was able to come around, it was about 9 o'clock at night, and under the conditions of my parole there and said not to leave the spot after 9 o'clock at night, which I did. I stayed at the spot. I tried, like I said, to get a hold of that patrol officer that was down the street to get advice from him at the time to see what he would have, if he would have helped me on the situation. But he had left the area at that time, so that there wasn't anything I could do with that particular thing. I looked back at the situation, and I cannot see anything more that I could have done at that time. Maybe I could have headed over to Glendale and I got some help from my family. But I had indicated on the phone that I was heading to that I left a message that I was heading back to my spot, my assigned area, and that's what I did.
Okay. All right, sir, do you have any questions?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, sir, the board has no questions at this time, Mr. Norris. What I'm going to do is go ahead and go to your sister, Ms. Parker. Ms. Parker, are you still on the line?
Yes, I am, sir.
Okay, Ms. Parker, go ahead. And I do want to inform you that we do have the letter that you sent in to the board.
Okay, sir, I did ask him to pull my letter because some of my information about what happened to Peter on the street was through my sister, not a town. And when I got a letter from him, he said that some of that was not accurate, that he tried to call my sister. He didn't do that.
Okay.
That was what I got through family that, you know, so it wasn't what I knew.
Okay.
But I did want to say that, you know, the family does want, our intention is to help him. We weren't very organized in helping him when he got out. He was in an industrial area, and my sister works and takes care of my mother, and she wasn't able to be there that day to help him. And that we do have intention of helping him get settled, and if he's allowed to be back in the community.
Okay, so would you just say that, because I do see in your letter that there were some specific things that you and your family want to do. Do you want to elaborate on that for us?
One of the things we'd like to do, I mean, he does have a place to live, we understand, and that it just needs to be approved by the parole officer, and that we will provide him a phone if he needs one when he gets out so that he can, you know, call people if he needs help with getting his monitor charged or something, that he can call family.
Okay.
And family has repaired his car and has it running so he can get to appointments and things like that now.
Okay.
So those type of things we're trying to help him with.
Okay. So it says that he has a place to live at his former residence and that is rent-free in exchange for some light caretaking he can do. Can you explain that to me?
He lived there before. The way I understand it is a small camper trailer type on someone's property in the Phoenix area. And he lived there before and was able to be okay there. The man that owns the property is allowing him to be there to kind of watch out for things there.
Okay. And it says that the family would assist him financially until he could get on his feet?
Yes, we would. He, you know, should be eligible for Social Security or something like that, we're hoping. And we would assist him to get application for that if he needs to and get on his feet. We do expect him to be independent, but we will assist him to help him, sure.
Okay. Mr. Parker, is there anything else you'd like to say to the board?
Well, I really hope that they would give him an opportunity to complete his parole out in the community. I think with the organization that our family has now and communication, that we're trying to work together to try to assist him that he could be successful.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Ms. Parker. You can certainly stay on the lines, Ms., and we'll get back to you when we conclude the hearing. At this time, we're going to get some information from the parole officer, Mr. Osborne.
Yes,
I can stay on the line for the second.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Yes, I'd like to read from the Chrono notes, and if it's okay, the PO would like to be included in this, if you would give him a call, sir.
Okay, what's the PO's number?
Sir, his number is 602-771-5594, and it is Senior Parole Officer Dan Peretta.
Okay, Mr. Parker, Mr. Norris, if you guys would just stand by, we're going to contact his parole officer. So please just stand by, okay?
Thank you.
Standing by.
Just stand by for a minute. Let me make sure everyone's still on the line, okay?
Okay.
Ms. Parker, you still on?
Yep.
Okay. Officer Peretta, this is the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. We understand you wanted to be contacted. We are currently conducting a revocation here from Mr. Peter Norris.
Okay.
Sir, at this time, I also like to swear you in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So, Mr. Peretta, go ahead and present any information that you'd like to present to the board at this time.
I was contacted by Mr. Osborne indicating that Mr. Norris indicated that the allegation against him of allowing his device to die to the point that it could be untrackable was false. Am I correct, sir?
Well, sir, what he's saying is that we found that he was in violation with that, and that basically what he is saying is that he was in the area, he didn't have a place to basically charge it, and it died out, and he was sick, and he went to a police officer to get some assistance, and they took him straight to Alhambra.
Sir, can I interrupt you a minute?
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I charged the GPS twice that day. I charged it just before 9 o'clock in the morning over at the, I was off the 23rd Avenue at a mall strip at the Walmart there. Because right after I charged it, I went to the dollar store and just between about 12 and 1 o'clock in the afternoon too, I charged it up again then. At the end of the mall strip there before leaving the mall area. So I had presumed that I had two good charges on the GPS that morning.
Mr. Parada, did you hear Mr. Norris?
Yes, I did, sir.
Okay.
I provided Mr. Osborne, the hearing officer, with our charge history.
Yes, sir.
That shows the time, dates, and seconds. From the 31st all week to the 3rd, when it was last charged at 12:57 p.m. on the 3rd.
12:57 p.m.?
That's correct. I don't know if Mr. Osborne is able to present that to you.
Sorry, I did receive the email. From Mr. Peretta.
Okay.
And it has on the 3rd all the charging times.
Okay.
He, I know he's supposed to charge it, and he's directed and conditioned to charge it for 2 hours.
Okay.
There are 4 different times he charged it for at 6:38, for 53 minutes and 38 seconds. At 7:38 a.m. for 2 seconds. At 9:35 a.m. for 6 minutes 39 seconds, and at 12:22 for only 34 minutes and 18 seconds. So at not any time did he charge it for the full 2 hours.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Osborne, Mr. Peretta. Mr. Norris, do you, they'll be going back and checking the time that your charger was actually charged, sir, and at no time during that day did you charge it for a full 2 hours, sir. You did charge it. It does say that you, you did charge it, but at no time did you charge it at one point for a full
2 hours. Yeah, I never did charge it for 2 hours at a time. I didn't know that that I had to do that, as far as I knew that it could take up to a 2 hour charge, but I thought my times that I had it plugged in was longer than that. I probably wasn't monitoring the light, and they could have got dislodged from the plug a little bit, and I didn't notice it. But I assumed that both in the morning of Sunday and right there in the afternoon that I had at least a good hour charge in both times. I didn't have a clock on me at the time.
Okay.
But I assumed that I was there approximately at least an hour both times charging it up.
Okay, so sir, the documentation is that you have to charge it for at least 2 hours. And so you didn't get a charge for 2 hours. So that's why you were having the problems with it, sir. I'm Mr. Osborne has a question. Some more information.
Yes, sir. More information, sort of his statement. He was, I believe you said, incapacitated for 3 hours and couldn't go anywhere. But it shows in the colonel notes that by tracking his points, he had continuous movement all through the night. So he was waiting for his sister to pick him up. So he was continuously moving per his GPS points.
Okay. So Mr. Norris, according to your GPS points, it really shows that you weren't stable at one point for 3 hours, like you said you were, but that you...
Yes, I was. There was a monitor there, a TV monitor. I might have moved maybe 2 or 3 feet with my leg or something, but I was on that sidewalk at that location that whole time. I never moved out of my location area there.
So, Mr. Hoffman, does it show whether he moved out of that spot, or does it just say he moved?
Yes, sir, the offender claimed he charged fully on the morning of 9-3 Walmart located at Happy Valley Town Center, 2501 West Happy Valley Road, number 34, Phoenix, Arizona, 85085. This SBO reviewed the offender's charge history for that date on 9-3-17. He claimed he charged completely. The charge history indicated the offender charged on 4 separate occasions. We went through that. He didn't comply with the charging rules and conditions. Furthermore, the SBO reviewed his movements to the Happy Valley Town Center. The offender traveled through the parking lot outside of Walmart and the strip of stores. The only times he was stationary was when he charged. Other than that, he was constantly traveling and in motion. When Investigator Armstrong was questioning the offender claimed he had heat stroke, but he didn't request medical treatment. The offender claimed he was waiting for his sister to pick him up from the homeless location. So I would reflect to possibly the senior parole officer to see if the points showed him moving any other places.
Mr. Officer Parada, does this show that Mr. Norris moved any other places?
The accuracy on the GPS is up to 13 feet. I'm reviewing his points now. He was, like I stated in my notes, my colonel notes indicated there, the only time he was stationed is when he was charged. Other than that, he was walking through the whole parking lot and walking on the sidewalk through the strip mall. And like I stated, the GPS accuracy is up to 10 feet.
Okay.
So I know exactly the spot up to 2 feet where he was walking. If he's stating that he was only on the sidewalk, that's false statements.
Okay.
Because I'm looking at the GPS accuracy.
Okay, so he stated that he actually had walked and he had a heat stroke and he was actually laying out on the sidewalk for about 3 hours. So that would be inaccurate?
That's inaccurate, sir, because I'm looking minute by minute, second by second, and he was never stationary for more than minutes at a time. He kept moving. No more than maybe 8 to 10 minutes at a time or when he was charging.
Okay.
I did at one point stop at 10. At the very west corner of the strip mall, so 12 that kept moving again.
Okay. All right, Mr. Parada, thank you. You can just remain on the line, sir. Mr. Norris, the board's going to come to a conclusion on your hearing, sir. We are at the getting ready to go into discussion. Is there anything else you'd like to say to the board, Mr. Norris?
The morning that the officer did come to pick me up, he was across the street, and I did walk across the street to talk to him as far as, because I could tell by the indication that he was looking for me. So it was that in the morning I did walk across the street, so if the GPS was showing a movement of me, it was the next morning there, that morning that I was picked up.
Okay. All right, Mr. Norris, but it's not indicating that you were had a heat stroke and you would land someplace for 3 hours, still for 3 hours. That it doesn't show the things that you say that you were doing during that period of time. It basically says that you were actively moving around the majority of that time. So that's what the monitor is showing, sir. The board is going to go into discussion, sir. While the board's in discussion, we're going to ask you to remain silent while the board's in discussion, sir. We also are going to ask Mr. Parada as well as Ms. Parker to remain silent as the board's in discussion. When we complete our discussion, sir, we'll be getting back to you with the results of what the decision of the board is actually going to be, okay?
Okay.
All right, the board is now into discussion. I've read the letter that's attached to here that Ms. Parker has sent in, which will provide some assistance for Mr. Norris, give him a place that he could charge his charger up. It also would provide some transportation for him to go see his parole officer. The family was going to help him with getting a phone. He had a place that he used to live at, that it was like a trailer, I guess, in the back of a house, a camper, that he had permission to go back there rent-free with doing some work there. You know, however, I am just finding some problems with the story that I'm hearing from Mr. Norris about what he was doing, having a heat stroke, being still for 3 hours, laying out on the sidewalk. The parole officer is on the phone and checking his activity and monitoring his device, and at no time was he stable for a long period of time. Mr. Norris had previously stated that he had charged his phone. It wasn't until after we talked to his parole officer that he stated he didn't charge the phone for 2 hours. He had simply just plugged it in, and looked like the longest that his phone was actually plugged in was 53 minutes. That was at 6:38. The other times he had had less time that he actually had it plugged in, which is why the charger would actually, the monitor system would actually go off. And so I do understand Ms. Parker wanted to help her brother to help him out, but at this time, you know, what I'm hearing from Mr. Norris is not coinciding with the information that we have with the parole officer, and not him having a heat stroke and been unstable for 3 hours and not moving around. We don't know what his activity were during that period of time. However, I'm willing to listen to see what my colleague may have to say.
I agree.
Okay, the information that we have and the opportunity to talk with the parole officer, Mr. Parada, I'm going to move to revoke the community supervision of Mr. Norris, find that he was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of his supervision, that he may have lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways and company by not charging his monitoring device and not knowing where he was at during that period of time, in which he stated he had a heat stroke, but according to the documentation that they have, that he was moving around the entire time throughout the mall or the location that he was supposed to be at.
Second.
Okay, Mr. Norris, the board has voted to revoke your community supervision, sir. You will be released on October 1st of 2018, sir.
Sir, can I object on one thing here?
Go ahead, sir.
Sir, I mentioned that there was a security camera footage. There's a building right there that is privately owned that looks like that the monitor there was pointing directly at the area that I was at. So I have that monitor, I think, would back my story that if they have footage there. It's right across the street from the 22410 building.
Okay. Well, Mr. Norris, the board voted to revoke your community supervision, sir. And the information that we have with the monitor and the tracking device, that it does not coincide with the information that you are actually giving the board at this time, sir. So I do understand that your sister and them do have, you know, some help for you and wanted to help you out, sir. But based on the information that we have, sir, the board has voted to revoke your community supervision. Like I said, you will be released back with no supervision, no community supervision on October 1st of 2018, sir. Mr. Norris, I want to thank you for participating in your hearing today, sir. That's going to conclude your hearing at this time. Ms. Parker, the board has voted to revoke the community supervision of Mr. Norris. Mr. Parada, the board has voted to revoke the community supervision of Mr. Norris. That is going to conclude this hearing at this time. Thank everyone for participating in the hearing today.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
All right. So I think that was it that we had at that general.